Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church. Let us prepare our hearts for worship by singing our hymn of preparation, which you will find in your bulletin. Let me encourage you to get the registration pads at the end of your pew and to sign your name and pass it down the pew so that folks can see who they're sitting next to and so that you can reach out and say hello when we have the passing of the peace. There's one announcement I really want to call your attention to that's in the bulletin, and that's the Lowcountry Boil. We do need reservations. It's going to be a really fine meal, and we do need reservations for that event. So double-check your calendar and let the church office know if you can come and participate in this fundraiser for missions, the Lowcountry Boil this week at the gathering. That is in the back of your bulletin, if you will notice that. I would also like to call your attention to two announcements that appeared in the newsletter. The first one is the Woman in the Mirror series. If you read that, you notice that Lander University will have two speakers who will be participating in a grant that our local Wesley Fellowship was able to secure. These are two very outstanding speakers. The first one, Ms. Rice, is from Atlanta, and she is co-author of a couple of books about young women and social expectations of young women. I highly recommend her for those folks who were participants in youth groups, high school and college age, particularly young men and women, because men do have to live with these young women, you know. So it's a pretty good idea to get both perspectives. Let me urge you to come Tuesday night to hear Ms. Rice at 8 o'clock at the Lander Cultural Center Auditorium. And then the next Wednesday, someone that our own Kathy Kelly recommended, because she is such an outstanding speaker and a Christian educator from Charlotte, Reverend Stephanie Hand, had a full ride basketball scholarship. And then because of the distractions that our society has, lost it. She has since found her way and is doing a marvelous job as a Christian educator. So I urge you to come and hear Reverend Hand. Doesn't make any difference whether you're a young woman or a young man. I think you will find her presentation extremely enlightening. I also want to call to your attention the Friday, October 23rd trip that they're going to make to the Skytop Orchards with the Main Streeters. You need to call Zella Williams or Francis Guerin to let them know that you're going to be coming. Now, may we continue our worship as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. our special worship service highlighting children in education. We believe that every child deserves our love, protection, and blessing, just as our Lord loved, protected, and blessed the children he called to his knee. We also depend on many of you who to lead, teach as we grow in our faith. We are also glad that you can be here with us today as we worship God together and celebrate Christian education.
Please stand for the call to worship. Come all who look for God with unseeing eyes. Come all who listen for God but hear nothing. The word of God is living and active. It pierces and judges and opens us to God's grace. Leave everything to follow Jesus in this hour. This is time to embrace the new ways.
Be seated. I invite you to join me in the invocation. Speak your word to each of us, O God. Before your word, none remain hidden. Reach out to the lost. Restore the fallen. Rebuke the proud. Remember the discouraged. Revive our spirits. Remold our lives to the likeness of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Old Testament reading from the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 1 through 9, and 16, verse 17. You can find this passage on page 580 in the Old Testament section of the Pew Bibles. Then Job answered, "Today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, and I might come even to his dwelling. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I will learn what he would answer, and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? No, but he would give heed to me. There an upright person could reason with him, and I should be acquitted forever by my judge. If I go forward, he is not there, or backward, I cannot perceive him. And on the left, he hides, and I cannot behold him. I turn to the right, but I cannot see him. God has made my heart faint. The Almighty has terrified me. If only I could vanish in darkness, a thick darkness would cover my face." This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. You can find this on page 266 in the New Testament section of the Pew Bible. In this passage, we learn that the Word of God is not words in a book, but a living, energetic force that opposes in everything in our interior lives to God's all-seeing gaze. Listen again for God's Word. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let hold us firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us for our time of need. The Father, this is the word of God." Lord.
Thank you.
Please join me in the litany. Father God, you are so wonderful, and we have so much to praise you for always being there, for your power, and for your never-ending love for us. We are sorry for the things we do that are wrong and that hurt you, other people, and ourselves. We ask for forgiveness for being full of pride, envy, and greed.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We have many things we can't do on our own, and we need your help. Please walk beside us and help us with our decisions and our actions each day. Father God, you have given us so many things. Thank you for all of the things you have given us. The sunshine, the rain, our families, and your love.
Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
We offer these prayers through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Let me get right here. It's time for a big kid to do something now. Okay. As we approach our time of prayer together, I'd like to lift up Frank Rice, who I believe is in Afghanistan now through his travels, is actually there, and Skippy and Sam, who remain back here in the States, Lib Gambrell, who's in the hospital, Elmer Scheibel, who has been in the hospital but has gone to the rehab hospital, Jay Pendergrass, with ongoing treatments and a health concern, for Tom Bond, Mac and Jean Bond's son, who has suffered a light heart attack, and Randy Wolf, who had to leave the state to go see his brother, who is in poor health. And also, I'd like to lift up a thank you. You'll get more news on this later, but as I wrote in my newsletter article, I've come to expect the unexpected. We had an unexpected gift to the church, a financial gift, that came through the estate of a former member, a longtime member here, and we praise God for the perfect timing. As you know, our budget has suffered much of late, and this will be an unexpected boost in that area and in others. We encourage all of you to remember the church in your estate planning. As we go forward in our time of prayer, have these things on your heart as well as your personal concerns and thanksgivings. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, we come to praise you and to thank you and to learn from you. We bring our little children to learn, and we bring ourselves as your children, seeking ways to resemble Jesus more in our daily lives. And Jesus lived a life of trust in God the Father's will and trusted God more than money, more than power, more even than the fear of death. Lord, save us from a superficial faith which trusts you only in good times, and give us depth of faith to trust you when jobs are lost, when health is lost, when the future is uncertain. And there are so many situations in our hearts we often do not know how to pray or what to pray for. Lord, guide us by the wisdom of your Holy Spirit as we lift up our silent prayers for victims of injustice, for victims of greed, and for the lonely and the forgotten, for the grieving and the broken, for the fearful and the confused. Lord, hear the silent prayers of our hearts. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day
our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
Amen. And thank you. Let us now continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
Thank you, God, for all the gifts you have given us. Help us to focus on our friends and family more than on the things we accumulate. We pray that we will never love things more than we love each other and love you. We dedicate our time, our money, and ourselves to promoting the work of your church on earth. May the people who receive these gifts be blessed and find grace in the time of need. Amen.
Please be seated. We now invite the children forward for the children's message with Jessica.
Good morning. See all of your bright and shiny faces this morning. This Sunday is Christian Education Sunday, so I was trying to think of what I wanted to talk to you guys about, and on Friday, I had the privilege of speaking with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Emerald High School, and I was trying to think of the same thing, what I was going to talk to them about, and they were at school, and I decided to just talk about the Bible, and I asked them how many of them enjoyed reading an assignment. You know, when a teacher gives you assignment in class, we don't really like to read it, but when we read on our own, for those of y'all who can read, when we read on our own, we enjoy it more than whenever we have to read it. Does that make sense? Is that true for some of y'all? You might like to read, but if you're made to read, if somebody makes you read, or if your mom makes you sit down and read a book, but you're not really in the mood to read a book at that moment, it's more of a hassle. And that's kind of the same thing about the Bible. When we read the Bible, or when our parents read the Bible to us, sometimes it seems more of a chore, but we should want to read the Bible, and we should want to learn the things that God wants to teach us. And I have a scripture this morning. It's from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, and it says, "There's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live in God's way." And that key word, training, is what I really want us to focus on. You know, in Christian education, we're learning in Sunday school, right? And so through Scripture, God wants us to always learn. And every time you read a verse, you might not read it the same way the first time as you do the second time. And I think a lot of the older folks in the congregation would agree with that, in the fact that when you read a Bible verse more than once, you usually read it a completely different way the next time, and the next time, and the next time, and the next time. So I just want to encourage you to continue reading and asking your parents to read you the Bible in a way that you can understand it, and so that we can always keep learning and teaching ourselves in the way that God wants us to live. And I didn't do anything silly for y'all this morning, but Reverend Jim did want me to mention to sort of try to include wolves and whales in my children's sermon. So here's how I'm going to include it. You learn about wolves and whales in school, right? Did you know that wolves travel in packs and whales travel in pods? Do y'all learn that? Okay, so we learn cool things in school, so let's keep learning cool things at church too. There you go, Jim. I hope that was efficient for you. Let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for letting us have the opportunity to read the Bible. Help us to always learn something new every time. And help us to love doing it. Amen.
Now we have a few visitors today, and before we pass the peace, let me sort of explain the tradition if you have not been a part of it before. It is an ancient tradition in which we will go and pass the love of God, the peace of God, greet each other in the name of Christ, and sometimes, if necessary, make peace before you truly hear the Word of God preached and worship with a clean heart. So let us pass the peace, and let us greet one another in the name of Christ, but not pass our colds and flus, maybe a slap on the back instead of a handshake. Let us pass the peace. Now let us affirm our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, You lack one thing. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In my first church, I met a very, very bright 12-year-old boy who was struggling already with his future career options. And he was wondering out loud what career path he would choose. And he had it figured this way. He said, "If I become a lawyer, it'll take this many years, but I'll make so many thousand dollars. And if I become a doctor, it'll take this many years, but I'll make so many thousand dollars." And he pondered about specializing in one field or the other. And he said, "It'll take more years of my life, but it'll also return more money." And he was a bright boy. And he wanted to make sure that he did not waste more years than he had to for the maximum financial gain. But it occurred to me he wasn't figuring into the fact that doctoring and lawyering are very different careers. And there is more to compare than just the years spent in school and the money made. Even the very brightest child or brightest 12-year-old doesn't know much about the fact that you can have a huge salary and still hate your job. It is possible to have a huge salary and still be miserable if you hate what you're doing. Some things do make a good return on time invested. But there is more to life than financial return on time invested. And I'm reminded of this story. This is where the wolves come in. Now, the morning crowd didn't like the story. I think it makes a point, and it's funny. I'm letting you know before I tell it. I'm reminded of Sam and Ed, and they needed money. And there were wolves out in this part of the woods, in this part of the state they were in. And the wolves were killing the farmer's sheep. And so the farmers raised a bounty together on the wolves to $100 a pelt. Well, Sam and Ed were both hunters, and they were unemployed and needed the cash. So they got their gear together, they got their guns together, and they headed out to the wide open spaces to shoot some wolves and make some money. Now, they had just fallen asleep out under the stars when a noise woke up Ed. And by the light of the campfire, Ed looked around and saw the eyes glowing of about 100 wolves and their teeth gleaming in the campfire. He elbowed his friend Sam. He said, Sam, wake up. We're rich. All right. Things don't always work out the way you think they will. I'm going to try this one. A true story from 1928 in February. You know, whales are some of the most amazing creatures God has made. Fin whales can easily, I am told, hear the bleeps of other fin whales up to 4,000 miles away. And humpback whales like to sing and rhyme, and the songs they sing are always changing at the same time. They're passed from one male humpback whale to another, so that at any given time, in any given season, all the whales in a single ocean are singing the same song. It's astounding. Well, in February 1928, a female blue whale who had roamed freely for many, many, many decades in the Antarctic was killed. And from the actual measurements that were taken at the time, some scientists are convinced that even today that this particular female whale was the largest creature ever to have lived on Earth, bigger even than any known dinosaur. But the people who had the privilege of seeing her didn't really see her. They were in such a hurry to harvest her blubber and find other family members of that species that they didn't salvage anything. There was not a single photograph made, and in 1928 they could have done that. Not a single bone was salvaged. What could we be missing in our lives because of harvesting, to take the analogy too far, blubber? What are we not seeing as we work and save and invest and acquire? What are we missing? What are we not saving? What are we not savoring? What part of God's kingdom are you not experiencing because you are in a rush to make a kill or a killing? What good is stuff without someone to follow and someone to serve, and some purpose in life? Now, this is our Christian Education Sunday, and our job is, as a congregation, to teach our children that it matters what you do and why you do it and who you follow. It matters. We all know that Jesus taught two major themes throughout Scripture, and that is to love God completely with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and trust God. And also to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have this same story about the rich man. And in Luke, I think he's called the rich young ruler. Well, wealth and power, even today, seem to travel together. So I'm going to call him the rich young ruler. Mark records that Jesus loved this man. He was so near to the kingdom. He asked all the right questions. He seemed to understand the importance of the law, the Ten Commandments, and he understood Jesus' teaching, or at least that his teaching was important. But he misunderstood what his blessing of riches was for. He wanted to keep his wealth to himself, and he wanted to acquire, I think, one more possession. He wanted to acquire God. He wanted to add God to his list. He wanted faith, hope, and money instead of faith, hope, and charity. He was saying to himself, okay, I've got wealth, I've got power, I've bought me some friends, a nice wife. Now, how much does this eternal life cost? Jesus, tell me, how much for that eternal life? I'm very wealthy, name your price. And Jesus said, it will cost you. It will cost you all that you have, every dime. Sell it all and give to the poor. Then you will be free to come and follow me. And it says the rich man was very, very sorrowful. He was grieved at heart. Why? Because he was so wealthy, he could not do it. Serving God was something that he wanted, but not at that price. God was desirable, but gold is tangible. He could not part with the wealth that had bought him power, prestige, friends, and fashionable stuff. And so grieving, he walked away. In that instant, I think that he understood that he did not own his gold. His gold owned him. Jesus looked upon him and loved him, though. He was close, and he had blessings that God could use if he came to faith as a holy agent of God's kingdom. He could have seen the money as a tool with which to show his faith. But he was stuck at the point of, I am blessed, and it's just me and you, God. Thank you for the money, and thank you for the eternal life, and I'll be fine, just me and you. Give me one more blessing, eternal life. What do I have to do to get there? He was close, but he missed the vital connection. Those who come to God, God always, always, always sends out to others. From what Jesus says, it is clear that he had given the commandments lip service, but he had neglected the poor around him. He did not mind receiving blessings, but he just wanted that one more eternal blessing. Apparently, he didn't understand that his wealth had been entrusted to him so that he could be a blessing to others. And this he was not doing. Gold makes a good tool, but a poor master. Apparently the rich young ruler could not get past God's plan to make us useful hands to help our neighbors whom God loves just as much as he loves us. He had a good question. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He was asking the right question, and he had gotten down to the fundamentals. He was, in effect, saying, Jesus, you clearly have the secret to authentic living. Tell me the secret so that I, too, may be fulfilled. When Jesus was asked a similar question in the Gospel of Luke, he, at that point, boiled all the law and all the prophets down to these. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus keeps doing that. He keeps connecting faith over and over to God and then immediately to neighbor. Jesus will not allow faith to be a private thing. Faith in God connects us to others always and everywhere in Jesus' teaching, in Jesus' life, in Jesus' death and resurrection. Following God, serving others is the gospel message. Trusting God, saving others is what Jesus did. How does mere accumulation of wealth fit in? Well, before I get it to that, I have one more story I'm going to try. A funny story, but it kind of makes a point. About a 3-year-old named Betty, and I have grandchildren 1, 2, and 4, so I'm familiar with the age 3 again. Betty was playing in the living room, and she was testing things out, as children will do. They sometimes put them in their mouth, sometimes put them in their nose, sometimes do other things with them. Well, anyway, her mother saw Betty pick up a nickel, examine it, and before she could get to her, swallow it. And the mother immediately picked her up, turned her upside down, pounded on her back, whereupon Betty coughed up 2 dimes. Now, the mother was really worried. Hysterically, she cried out to her husband in the backyard, Betty just swallowed a nickel, and she coughed up 2 dimes. Hurry, tell me what to do. And the father shouted back, keep feeding her nickels. We need the money. Where does the accumulation of wealth fit in? Well, some things are more important than wealth, such as your child's health. Money is mostly seen in the scripture as a tool which reveals your faith and your desire to serve God, serve your neighbor. You can do a lot of good with money. It's how we keep score in our culture. It's how we show the world why we do what we do. It's how we show the world who we follow. The rich young ruler followed gold. And he could not part with it, not even for God, not for his neighbor, not even to save his own soul. He was given the choice. The man did not have room for faith in God because he already had his faith in gold. As I read it, Jesus sees the man's misunderstanding in the very question, what must I do to get this eternal life? As if he could buy it, as if he could do something to earn it. So Jesus allowed that mistaken question to stand, and he answered him in his terms. Jesus was making a huge point. He said, okay, to show you that eternal life cannot be bought, and to show you what faith is, and to illustrate to you what total faith and trust in God looks like, and to illustrate that you do not understand that your blessing of wealth was always meant to be for God's use and others' help, to make all of that clear to you, you want a deed that you can do to prove that you understand what God wants and what faith in God requires? All right. Sell all you have, give it to the poor, and then you'll be free to come follow me. Jesus was saying, trust me more than the wealth that has raised you up so high above your needy neighbors, so high you think yourself better than others, so high that you see yourself as blessed in a singular and lonely way. But you cannot part with the money. It owns you. You no longer own it or have the option to use it as a tool. You misunderstand the purpose of your blessing and the gift of salvation and God's love of your needy neighbors. You really want a deed you can do to prove your heart is right? Give it all away. It stands between you and God. It stands between you and your neighbor. Give it away. Then come and follow me. Jesus is teaching once more the hard lesson, the clear lesson of the great commandment and the second greatest commandment. Love God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We say we trust God. We say we love God. Let us show that we love God by the way we treat our time, our talents, and our treasure. The rich man walked away, and he was grieving because he had too much wealth, too much to part with. He could almost buy anything except faith and trust in God. And the disciples were amazed for one reason. They thought if you're wealthy, that meant God had blessed you. And if a man who's blessed can't come to God and into the kingdom of God, then who can? But this man walked away sorrowful, grieving his wealth and grieving without Jesus. How much for that eternal life, Jesus? I'll take some. Well, love God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, your whole strength. And one more thing, love your neighbor as yourself. And if there is anything, not just wealth, but anything made of dust or rust or decay which gets in the way, get rid of that first. And then, come follow me, says Jesus. Amen. Now I do want to invite you to turn to our commissioning of teachers. One of the ways we as a congregation help teach the foundations of the Christian faith, trust in God, and explore the teachings of the Bible is through our Sunday school program. Sunday school is an important part of the life of a Christian from birth until death because it is here that you grow in your faith, learn the stories of faith, and join with other Christians as we build up the body of Christ. Today we commission our Sunday school teachers, and I want to invite all our Sunday school teachers forward, not just for the children, but for the adult classes as well. Please come forward for our commissioning. As they are coming forward, I'm going to read from Romans 12. Our Lord, who came along among us as a servant, calls us to faith and a life of loving service to our neighbor. You stand among us as one called to render a particular service, a gift from God to inspire us to love and good works. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. And now, teachers, will you assume this ministry in the confidence that it comes from God? Will you teach in accordance with the Holy Scriptures? Will you be diligent in your study of the Holy Scriptures and faithful in your use of the means of grace and prayer? Will you trust in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your skills, and adorn the gospel of God with a godly life? Almighty God, who has given you the will to do these things, graciously give you the strength and compassion to perform them. Amen. I'll now dedicate you to service, the teachers of God's people, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let us all stand as we sing our closing hymn. May God bless you with the full knowledge of the great love of the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and through the presence, the comfort, and the wisdom, and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others, in Jesus' name. Amen.